You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. John McCain wants to call off the presidential debate so he can focus on fixing the economy along with lawmakers on Capitol Hill. What do you think of that decision?
Hi, this is Dean from New Jersey. This is no political stunt on John McCain's part. This is just John McCain remaining true to form. That's my take.
True to form or cynical, whatever you think, tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
We're going to talk about North Korea now. In June, the Bush administration announced a deal with North Korea to shut down its nuclear weapons program. And the Bush administration was touting that deal as a diplomatic success that now looks short-lived. Contrary to hopes that North Korea would deactivate its nuclear weapons program, today there are indications the program is being reactivated. The International Atomic Energy Agency reported yesterday that international inspectors had been barred from a reprocessing plant just 2 years after North Korea carried out its first nuclear weapons test. Nathan Hodge, a senior writer from Jane's Defense Weekly, joins us now with more. Welcome, Nathan.
Good morning.
So what's really known about what's happening with the nuclear power plants in North Korea?
Everything in North Korea is always going to be shrouded in mystery. And one of the things that everyone who's been watching this has been concerned about is what exactly is going on with North Korea's leadership. For instance, Kim Jong-il has basically disappeared from public view for, you know, over a month. And this has really sparked some concern about exactly who's in charge of North Korea's nuclear arsenal.
And there's certainly lots of rumors about him being ill, having perhaps suffered a stroke or some other kind of great illness that has incapacitated him.
And this definitely plays into some of the speculation that perhaps this is a move by North Korea's leadership to show some kind of position of strength. And really what they seem to be pushing for is to be removed from the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism. North Korea believe that it would be delisted if it declared and disabled its plutonium production facilities. But the United States, in return, wants to have some very, you know, intrusive monitoring measures put in place.
And the Bush administration's reported response was that simply the North Koreans are playing a brinksmanship game and they are wanting to extract concessions on what you just mentioned, which is issues about a very tight verification system.
Well, the United States also has a number of other instruments that it can bring to bear here. One of the provisions is also that the North Koreans would receive things like fuel deliveries. This is something that could be withheld potentially from North Korea. And it's important to point out here as well that, you know, the United States has not gone it alone here. One of the reasons that we've had this kind of success, or at least that tentative success, in trying to persuade the North Koreans to disable and dismantle their nuclear program is because of the six-party process. The United States here has depended heavily on assistance from, for instance, China, South Korea, and Russia, all parties to the negotiations with the North Koreans.
Nathan, what, you know, the other component of the nuclear program that's so disturbing in North Korea is its delivery system. It's a manufacturer of missile systems, and I'm wondering if there's any sort of indication that this nuclear development is moving in tandem with some sort of reactivated or more aggressive testing of missile systems.
No, that's an excellent question. And certainly, as has been reported in Jane's Defense Weekly, you know, there is suspicion that North Korea may be preparing for additional ballistic missile tests. Now, whether or not North Korea has actually weaponized a nuclear device so it could be deliverable on a missile, that's a completely different question. There's not a lot of clarity, as far as I'm concerned, about you know, how many devices it may or may not have had in its arsenal. But that being said, yes, North Korea is not just a country of concern because of its potential for building a nuclear arsenal, but for spreading the technology for the delivery of one.
But we could at least take comfort in what you're saying there, that this seems to be still in the political realm, not in the active stage of actual deployment. And so on that subject, do you think that this is more of a distraction or, as you alluded to a moment ago, an attempt by the Korean leadership, if it's in a succession stage or not, to project strength to the region?
Well, either way, if it does decide to resume reprocessing nuclear material, it'll be an extremely alarming development. And one of the things that this kind of diplomatic crisis lays bare is that there's a limited amount of focus in foreign policy. Iraq has consumed a tremendous amount of the talent and energies, the resources of the administration here. And really this
and now the economy, right?
Which
goes to the question of timing. The North Koreans.
There are a number of issues of timing here. There's a UN General Assembly going on. We're coming up, I think, on the second anniversary of North Korea's first nuclear weapons test back in 2006. The timing is, and we're coming to the end of the Bush administration. So definitely not very auspicious. Mm-hmm. But that having been said, it's very important. I think both of the candidates in the current presidential race here have said, look, this is something that we really need to revisit. We need to reinvigorate our approach to nuclear nonproliferation.
So not something that clearly is going to be just cleared
up in the debates.
In the debates. Nathan Hodge, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Nathan Hodge is a senior writer from Jane's Defense Weekly. And now we're going to turn to Femi Oke, who's got some news for us. Femi?
Thank you very much. 28 minutes past the hour.